Here's a way I think we're going to do some brain surgery today to retool, rewire your brain so you can get your wish. What's your wish? You can tell people about Jesus. Remember the two questions we started with? Remember the two questions Edwards brings up? What are they?
What are you doing right now that cannot be duplicated by a non-believer?
No matter how hard they tried, write that one down and smoke it. What are you doing right now that could not be duplicated by an unbeliever no matter how hard they tried? And then secondly, what does he ask? What blatant evidence of the supernatural God has leaked out of your life recently? So check this out. Get your library card and check this out. Talk about rewiring our brain so that that stuff happens. I think what God's going to do for me, and maybe for you if you need it, is do some brain surgery. I know how to do brain surgery. Don't worry. I mean, don't let the scissors and the stapler freak you out. Now, I've read this magazine, it's 7 Easy Steps. I can do brain surgery. I've been given a gift. I'm qualified.
Stayed at a Holiday Inn Express last night.
That's it. Kansas City.
Yeah.
Picked up the magazine in Kansas City. I'm now qualified to do brain surgery on myself and others. Where's that stapler? Okay? You guys ready? Who's first? Come on. Come on up. Who's first? Edwards suggests the way your brain might need to get rewired is being delivered, or letting your brain be delivered from the false gospel that says the gospel is about don't do it, or morality, or not sinning. The gospel of sin management, several people call it. Probably most Americans in the back of their mind, if you've been raised up in church, you think the gospel is accept Jesus so you don't sin. Mere morality is a garden where the weeds have been pulled, but nothing has taken their place. It's a bare plot of land containing nothing wrong, but exhibiting nothing that catches the eye. Godliness is a garden where the weeds have been pulled, and the flora of heaven is clearly blooming. We're not only to refrain from the wrong, we're also to reflect the supernaturally right. We're not only to refrain from the wrong, we're called to reflect the supernaturally right. And here's the secret. Here's where my brain needs to get rewired. This is where the element of surprise becomes so crucial. So here's what I'll be praying. For God to rewire my brain so I work according to not the gospel of morality, but the gospel of surprise. When our highest goal is to keep our noses clean, when our spiritual agenda consists of keeping ourselves back from sin, about the best thing that can happen is people become impressed with our integrity and uprightness. But the reality is we've done what only good Muslims, Jews, and even atheists do every day. Edwin Lutzer writes about a portion of Chicago that has 160,000 quite distinguished inhabitants. And I quote Lutzer now. None drinks a drop of liquor. Not a one smokes. Not one dances. Not a one goes to the movies. I mentioned that to a friend. He said he would really like to visit this section of the city, maybe even more, move there. I told him that someday that might actually be possible. The area of the city, however, is Rose Hill Cemetery. You see, some who define the Christian life, define it by what they don't do, and they miss the point. To genuinely glorify God requires walking the extra mile beyond morality. If a Roman soldier compelled a Jew to carry his backpack for 1 mile, then 1 mile was all he needed to go. No rabbi would have commanded anything more, but what Jesus told his followers in essence was this: there'll be no surprise factor. Rewire my brain, God. I need the surprise factor in your life. If you only go 1 mile, God has placed you on this earth for something far grander than just responsible living and dutifully doing what you're commanded. He stationed you here to know him intimately and to be his living, breathing marketing agency. And if you do only what's required, you won't get anyone's attention. Even worse, their attention will stop at you. So instead, without complaining, take that soldier's backpack and walk a full extra mile before you give it back to him. Is that fair? Of course not. But none of us is here to be treated fairly. We're here to draw attention to the God who drips with the most unfair thing in the universe. You finish the sentence. Grace.
Amen.
So if I could just be rewired and retooled, and my brain and my soul and my spirit could just be so flooded with that surprise factor, so that stuff leaks out of me without me even trying. You know, it's not about what you don't do. It's not even about what you, if you pardon the pun, do. Even though Paul says in several of his letters, don't do this, don't do that, and do that. Take off this and put this on. But once you get beyond that, on the deepest level, you'll be leading people to Jesus without even trying. If that surprise factor of going the extra mile or doing something blatantly supernatural, or, remember, what in the world are you doing right now, this week, even today, that couldn't be duplicated by an unbeliever, no matter how hard they tried? We suggested some supernatural things. Scott mentioned prayer, which is amazing. Sonia talked about being free of the fear of death, which the Bible promises we have. These people over here, and these people over here, and these people over here, I don't think they have that because I don't think they're in the kingdom yet. And so picture in your mind, if you will, one person you know, as far as you know, they're still a pre-Christian. Maybe you want to write it down so you can pray for them and let your brain be rewired to bless them so you can leak out on them. God, just show us, each of us, anyone that's in our life that we'd like to be blatantly supernatural in front of so that we can find Jesus.
Amen.
God, speak to us. We're going to listen for a few minutes till we have that person focused. What would this look like practically today? Let me give you a few examples from people in our congregation. A lawyer in a large firm. Is that anyone here? Just examples. No lawyers in a large firm yet? Not only treats his staff fairly, but takes the time and trouble to learn the names of the many, many interns and part-time staff in his firm. They're so surprised and pleased that he knows their names that he's been able to have significant ministry and in many of their lives. A restaurant owner. Anybody? Not yet? Gives exceptionally high bonuses to his employees each Christmas, regardless of what his profits have been that year. And he wrote this way before the economic times of today. A coach. Anybody? Coach? Look at this. A coach not only doesn't use profanity. Oh, well.
Oops.
A coach not only doesn't use profanity, but invites the kids on his team over to his house and treats them like members of his family. He's been a surrogate father to countless young men who have no father at home. A family consistently brings in unwed expectant mothers to live with them during the pregnancy. They stay in close touch afterward to continue supporting the mothers however they can. Many of these girls have come to know Christ. A doctor? Come on, admit it.
Any doctors?
Brain surgeons. Dr. Joyce Lee gives countless free hours to the poor and to people in the church in special need. Everything we've looked at so far has been leading up to this. The goal of supernaturally influencing others is to cooperate with God and seeing His colors put unmistakably on display through their lives. Whether we're designed to influence our children, our spouse, or our Christian friends, nothing's more important than one overriding question. What are they doing for God's reputation on earth? Nothing matters more than this because nothing matters more than God. Period. God hasn't called us to work with Him in producing safe, predictable, clean-living, rule-keeping, Bible-toting moralists. He's got way too many of them as it is. What He's seeking to use us for is helping mold spirit-dependent, Christ-enamored men and women who honor Him. Something about their lives elevates other people's respect and regard of Jesus. And it's all about the undeniable, supernaturally leaking surprise. And I got to get my brain rewired because I don't function that well. An evangelistic, blatant surprise. Because I'm too caught up with those other levels of thinking. Anybody want brain surgery? Anybody volunteer for brain surgery? Y'all are brave. I mean, you signed the consent form when you came in. What? Brainwaves?
I need a brain first.
Yeah, well, we can pray for that. But see, what I love about the suggestion that something like prayer and something like fear of death are supernatural is because they are. And we talked earlier about people seeing the greater works of Jesus. Imagine the greatest thing Jesus Christ ever did while He was on earth. What would it be? What would be the most amazing work that Jesus did on earth? Miracle, sign, anything. What stands out for you?
Coming back from the dead?
Anybody done that? See, and then we're only beginning to stretch our imagination to begin to think about what Jesus means by a greater work, because he says on a normative daily basis, we're just going to leak out stuff that's far greater than that. Now, if you came back from the dead, John, you might lead a few people to Jesus. But see, that's nothing compared to John 14. You will, he promised, that you and I will do greater works than that. Another, what's the greatest thing he ever did? Come back from the dead. But what other signs, miracles do you think of?
On water.
That's why I love the movie The Incredibles. Because the kid in The Incredibles doesn't even walk on water. He does Jesus one better, so to speak. What does he do? He runs on water.
What was that, Dash?
Dash! Dash runs on the water. So I'm telling you, if you can pray, if you can show a non-Christian that they can have no fear of death, that's so supernaturally evangelistic. But again, it's only getting us to the deeper level where some of the stuff we're going to see in our lifetime, like last week, remember? Kevin Clancy's shadow healing Pastor Sean. Mm. That's kind of crazy. That's pretty corny. But it's starting to happen. You know, it's not about signs and wonders. It's about what people who see the signs wonder what they're about, and they get so surprised that they fall in love with Jesus as they fall in love with what he's doing in you, because we're just honest enough and full of God enough to let it leak that supernatural out of us in a way that's natural. Anybody want brain surgery? Mm-hmm. Anybody sign up for brain surgery today? Well, come on up to the altar today, ladies and gentlemen. Where's that stapler? Who wants the brain surgery? Come on, get it. I'm qualified. Where's the flashlight? Something you can help me. Kevin, will you do brain surgery on me today?
Sure.
You see, look at that. I would trust this guy with my life. So, I don't know who's in charge of this prayer meeting unless it's Holy Spirit. So what we'll do in a minute, we'll just turn the time over to him and let him do some brain surgery. But some of the stuff you've got in touch with way back to the top of the hour was triggered by that question, what are you thinking about right now, when we got serious about it? What's holding me back? What's that stuff that goes on? Where do you need maybe literal brain surgery? Some of us are probably so traumatized on a deep level from something that happened to us in childhood, we're barely aware of it, but it's crippling us every single day. And that's why your brain's telling you, I'll never amount to anything. Or that's why your brain's saying, I'm going to die and go to hell, even though you know it's not what the Bible says. There's so much stuff going on in the brain that needs rewiring, needs Holy Spirit to retool, not only for your health and benefit and wholeness and deliverance, but so that those people who don't even know about prayer, who don't even know about the fear of death, who don't even know that Merlin's shadow could heal someone in a moment. That's where we're headed. Anybody want brain surgery? Anybody daring enough to ask the Holy Spirit for brain surgery so you can rewire and retool? Thanks for giving us, God, the ability to say yes to that invitation. Just give us, Holy Spirit, just a few moments of silence, each of us listening, and about any places we need some rewiring, we need some help, we need some healing. And now that most of us are thinking we have an answer, which is probably true, we give you blessing and permission right now to go even deeper. Take us into a place where we know our deepest needs, even if we didn't know them when we came in. God, where do we need your help? God, where do we need your healing? Do something big and supernatural in us. Let us know where we need your healing right now. And just like that kid you watched on the news report who stole his parents' car, 7-year-old kid who stole his parents' car to go to church, that's really a picture of us. We don't want to go to the place of pain and healing, but we do. And so help us to get rewired today, God, whatever it means. Whatever the cost, even though we know what it's going to mean. It's going to mean Alma's friend and all the friends we know seeing something supernatural leak out of us as we encounter them. In Jesus' name.